Press wants to ask you any questions about the election, the November elections. Would you take, questions? I said, sure. And I mean, that's all over the country they ask you that.
Sure.
And then he said, and if they should say anything about your political future or if you've made up your mind or what you're going to do, would you respond? I said, sure. That was it, because that's every day I do that.
Next thing we know, it's the strongest
statement
to date.
Oh, my God. With NBC showed, it said press alert. Yeah, press alert.
Yeah, they called me, too. They went around and called everybody individually. I assume if they called me, they called everybody. And just said, just want you to know.
Then he called me this morning to say thank you. It was terrific. I said, I said, I thought you did very poorly on NBC, because they named him. They said, he put this out,
Yeah.
And he said, oh, well, you win some, you lose some.
Got him there. He doesn't care.
He didn't care.
All the cameras were there. That's right. Hello. Yes. You should use this. Okay. All right. Okay. What we're doing with this is two things. I'm running it as a half-hour interview show for a program that we have, and then I'll be excerpting the 10 best minutes of it for a magazine that runs Sunday night. Mm-hmm. One question. Does this timer run simultaneous with the...
It will reset to zero.
And that runs the same as on the reel. When we're done, if I wanted to go back and find things, I could use the counter here? Got it.
It may be off by a few seconds.
Good enough.
It'll be off by about 5 seconds, not any more than 10.
Okay, fine. Okay, we'll start with an ID, and then you can hit the theme, pull it down. Okay. This is WKQX Chicago. I'm Marge Halperin. Join me now as Q101 meets Jane Byrne, former mayor of Chicago. Thanks for being with us.
Nice being here with you, Marge.
I have to start with the first question, the question that everyone asks you wherever you go, and then we'll get it out of the way and move on to other things. Are you interested in, again, being mayor of Chicago?
Well, I really haven't made up my mind as that far along. It's 2 years away. And sure, you're very flattered when people meet you and encourage you and say, we miss you or we wish you were back. And, that goes on. But life goes on as well, and it has to go on. I mean, nobody can just sit around for 4 years of their life and say, well, maybe this will happen, maybe that'll happen. So I haven't really spent a lot of time making a decision. I'm sure that at some point in time I will make a decision, but that's where we are today.
You did go as far as saying you're assessing the situation, you're running a campaign of sorts. Where do you stand right now? What are you looking at?
Well, I don't think I'm running a campaign of sorts. I think that it could be perceived that I am running a campaign of sorts. I have been, as I said, a lot of people liked me. A lot of people didn't, but a lot of people liked me. And those same people will invite you back for parades in their community, or they'll invite you to the parades downtown. So you're seen, and you're there. And that sort of sends out that type of a thought in the minds of many people. I am, and I have said this, I'm going to have an audit completed on my campaign fundraising, because I think it created a myth about all the money that was supposedly made during my 4 years, which of course was not true. What was done with the money that did come in, how we expended the money. And I'm also going to be hiring a staff assistant slanted towards press secretary or public relations. And that too could be interpreted as really putting things in place. But I've been fortunate. I've been invited to make a lot of speeches, and I have done so around the country. And I really have stayed out of Chicago. I haven't done a lot of that in Chicago. there are things going on in the city that puzzle me, I'm sure puzzle everybody else, that you want to be able to kick around with an individual. I will be accepting speeches in Chicago now after the first of the year. And I certainly think that the city is divided enough and polarized enough that I would not want to add to it. And you always want to, I think, discuss that with people that you respect and who have views as to how things would be interpreted. And so for that reason, I'll be moving into that after the first of the year also. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that it's written in stone that that's the reason. I mean, I think somebody that's been 20 years working for the government doesn't like it the way it is. There's no doubt about that. But doesn't want to be a person that would add to it. And so I'm just being very cautious, quite frankly.
What would it take, and do you have some kind of timetable for making a decision?
Well, I think that there are so many things, as you know, you covered City Hall for a long time, that go into this kind of a decision, particularly now. There are many people that would probably like to be mayor. You don't know where anybody's going to be. You have a mayor that ran in the Democratic primary, who now says he may run as an independent, so you don't know where he's going to be. If he runs as an independent, I would think that he is doing it in order to split the Republican and the Democratic vote, hoping to ensure a victory. Now, that would be something that, you know, might be politically smart for him. So I don't think you can assess it at this time. I don't think anybody knows who's on first, second, or third in the city of Chicago right now.
Do you have a deadline, a date when you must make up your mind publicly?
Well, by law, you have to declare by a certain date in 1986. That's what I mean. It's pretty far down the line.
You don't have another sooner deadline for yourself?
No. Mm-mm.
A lot of people probably listen to this and wonder, why would you want to be mayor again? You talk about the audit of your funds. You certainly took a lot of punches about the money you raised and the friends and non-friends that you hired and didn't hire. And while you were in office, and certainly the year afterwards, you really took a lot of dirt. Why would you want this job again?
Well, I think when you have, as I said, you gave 20 years of your life, and you wouldn't do that as a young person, as I was, unless you really liked government and unless you really, you know, loved the city of Chicago. I think that, you know, the three-way race was a very difficult race. I don't think it really reflected too much insofar as actual feelings. I think you had a legacy of a name in that of the late Mayor Daley. You certainly had a strong, fervent ethnic group coming together for the first time. I think rather than the good of the city or the programs that were underway or the things that were being achieved, I think Jane Byrne was an issue as an individual rather than credit ratings, rather than the jobs, rather than the expansion of O'Hare Airport, the North Loop, so many things that are very vital to the city. So I think, you know, we had that kind of an election. And I think you say after that, okay, now, as I did, you know, you stay out of it, and I traveled a lot, which I did deliberately, and you give a mayor a chance, and I think that almost every program that I launched became almost a captive prisoner between the two sides. And I think if people want to fight, that's one thing, but I think if you fight to the detriment of a city, you're fighting over nothing because there'll be no city left, and that's no joke. I think when we went into why O'Hare should be expanded, a $2 billion expansion, it was because the airlines and industry downtown had come to me and said, you know, the international airport's a disgrace. If we're to keep the supremacy of the world's busiest airport, it's got to be expanded. That was said to me in May of 1979, right after I won. That became something that we had to do. The jumbo jets are coming in. There wouldn't have been space for them if this were not underway. I mean, they're basic, they're not sexy, and they're not PR, but they're the real makings of what makes a city move. With that, the jobs and the expansion, relocation of jobs, and the spurt that was given up on the northwest side just by the extension of the Northwest Rapid Transit, where you see all that new industry in Chicago. So I think those things are vital. So it's very frustrating when you know that you pulled and you scraped under the hardest. I mean, there was no Reagan recovery when I was mayor. So we had the highest unemployment rate, the highest inflationary period in 50, 60 years in this country. And to be able to have accomplished those things, you really put your whole self into it. And then just to see by virtue of fighting over the spoils, would they wait until the very last moment to kill that project? And that's only one of 10. It makes you think, hey, wait a minute here, come on, slow down and let's see. You want to keep fighting or do you want the city to survive?
But given
and those
the way
things, they, I think they overshadow personal hurts, and they overshadow. First of all, I knew that the creaming that I took after I left office, and it's surprising. Learned politicians, noted politicians, and public relations and consultants around the country saw it and said they had never seen anything so brutal to a defeated candidate in their lives. And it was true. Most of all, it was untrue. And I think I saw a small article in the Sun-Times maybe a month ago. And I think one could say that the then Sun-Times, not the new ownership, but practically from the day I walked out the door, I was taking Spanish lessons on Saturday. I'd come down and buy the newspaper, be the Sunday papers. I'd be a headline. Here I am, out of office, minding my own business, I'm still a headline. Then came what the normal press reaction is, go to the state's attorney, ask the state's attorney, will he investigate? Boom, a new headline, grand jury. Well, anyway, about 3 weeks ago, I saw that there might be one case that hasn't been closed out of all those so-called disclosures. Everything else was found to be clean. And the one that's left, I fully expect, will be found to be clean as well.
Well, given the way that went when you left, and given the way it has continued, do you think you could launch a new campaign and not have to deal with those things all over again? And how would you deal with them? You'd have to get them
out
of the way.
I think the facts, quite frankly, Marge, you know, the facts speak for themselves. There never was an indictment throughout my entire 4 years of anybody in my administration. Indictments did take place during that time, but they were from previous administrations. The process of time took that long to work through. I know of no charge that was ever made that wasn't innuendo or wasn't nothing to back it up. I think one would have to agree that for the entire 4 years, there was a candidacy against me, sort of a shadow candidacy. And I could understand people, the state's attorney wanted to run for mayor. So I think we had a political climate behind the screens against the then mayor that we now see with different people against the current mayor. And mine was sort of in the shadows. And so, you know, it was a wonderful thing for different PR people working for another candidate who had not declared to run from pillar to post and plant stories and then, you know, have speculation and then you'd read the story and then an investigation, but nothing ever came of them. I mean, as an example, I think we had a horrible story written right before the election and then again after the election about the eye care contract at City Hall, mm-hmm. theoretically mob-connected. Well, Harold Washington renewed that same contract this year without a word. Nobody said a word. And I know that it was investigated and questioned, and it was found to be clean. Nobody knew any of the parties involved. It was done on opening of bids the legitimate way. Nevertheless, you're correct. The headline stuck to me. Today, there's no such thing as something dirty about that eye care contract. So I think, you know, people are intelligent, and I think people don't like to be fooled. And I think once people see that, jeepers, we said that, we saw this, we saw this, we saw this, and none of it ever happened, that would not be such a hard issue to deal with.
Well, there are some things that happened that you must consider mistakes, the $29 million tax increase.
I always said that that was. Do you mean that the first one?
Well, when taxes
that I kept
went
it,
up.
That
and
I kept
you,
it?
Well, yes, and then you decided we didn't need it and then decided we did need it. If nothing else,
I never decided we didn't need it. I never decided we didn't need it. And again, I think you're talking again more about good PR mm-hmm. versus good government. I didn't make the mistake. I had an expert who was the budget director. He made the mistake. He did not catch the mistake. A deputy called me up on Thanksgiving Day because it was going to print in the journal and told me because he couldn't reach the budget director. Well, at that particular time, we had very, very heavy deficits. We were facing a school board collapse, as you know, which I then knew. I knew that November. I was told on November the 15th that the schools owed, which I'll never forget, to come in and tell me that the school owed $750 million. That wasn't projected. That was there. It wasn't there. I mean, the money was gone. And I was told by the banks that the rating agencies were going to put a very, very scrutinous eye on the city of Chicago and its funding because we were going to co-sign for those notes. Well, I knew the city's bank book wasn't in good shape either. And the banks had gone over our numbers. In order to carry the weight of the Board of Education, we had to look like Caesar's wife, that we were in great, solid financial condition. And it's true that, you know, it was a mistake, but it was needed.
Well,
and in his calculations, he thought it. But then when it was brought out to him that you double-taxed, it would have been simple and I could have been a hero. But I don't think we would have saved the schools had I decided to play politics.
Well, the question is not so much about the specific tax there or some other issues that were brought up during your campaign, but my question is that you seem to carry so much baggage, the bitterness of your campaign, the bitterness of your term in office, and then you talk about what's happening now and how the council is split, and again, a bitter campaign against
Mayor
Washington.
Well, I don't think that there was a bitterness to my 4 years in office. I don't believe there was.
Well,
I believe there was a faction that was always bitter that I won. They didn't anticipate a woman beating the machine. They didn't anticipate a defeat by a Jane Byrne. I mean, it shook a lot of timbers. And there was an anger on the part of many of the aldermen. I mean, it took 2 years for many of them to even walk in my door. That was there, and I'm saying the same thing is there now.
Well, given all that, that history, might it be better for the city if a fresh face came out to the campaign, if you stepped aside and said there's too much baggage here, it isn't worth trying to dredge up the old history and the old problems and the old bitterness?
Well, I think only time will tell that. I don't think that you can sit back and say now. I don't think that there's anybody else, if I were to say that I'm making the decision, I don't think there's anybody else that had the experience right now. I think that if you sit and look at it, the city's budget was solvent. We had under me the highest credit rating of any of the older industrial cities in the Northeast and the Midwest. We had the 10-year plan, which is what they're kicking around a lot now, but it was for the future of the city. And, you know, in politics, you can be liked or you can be disliked, but it's performance that counts. And I think when it comes to performance, everything was moving. And that whether you want to consider the Northwest Rapid Transit, movement or non-movement, it's there. The Southwest Rapid Transit linking the downtown with the Southwest Side Midway Airport, it's there. The studies had all begun. The approval from the Reagan administration had come. The expansion of the North Loop would have been underway. Just this week, they announced they're ready to begin the Montgomery Ward building. We had that press conference and announced that 3 years ago. The 80-story office tower that will go up down there. The library was set. It's been in limbo. Navy Pier sits in the water like a white elephant. Well, I think we knew how to put those things together, and we did it, as I say, under the hardest of times. There was never, or at least in my lifetime, an economic depression or recession as bad, with unemployment as bad, as it was the year that I ran for re-election.
I see that there are a lot of things that you're proud of when you were mayor, and you look back at orchestrating all that, and clearly you must miss that. But on a personal level, do you miss being mayor on a day-to-day basis?
No, not particularly. You don't miss it. Being mayor becomes your whole life, at least if you're working hard at it. And it isn't like there is a personal life. It's more like everything relates to the time you get up, to the time you may get a phone call in the middle of the night that, you know, there's a policeman shot, or an early Sunday morning phone call that the Hilton is on fire. I can remember the day that Queen Beatrix was coming to Chicago. We were having a big state dinner that an hour before I was over on a softball field at Cabrini Green because that was close to going up for grabs over a policeman that had been shot at. And so all those things, you don't have a time to sit back and say, oh, isn't this nice? I can go and get a facial or get my fingernails done. It just doesn't happen.
I want to remind our audience, you're listening to WKQX Chicago. Q101 meets Mayor Jane Byrne. There are a few other questions about your future. For one thing, there was some speculation when you first were out of the race that you would look at some other offices. Is there anything else that you would consider running for?
I haven't thought about it. I really haven't. I've done a lot of public speaking around the state of Illinois. I was in Bloomington. I was in Bourbonnais. I was in Midlothian. A lot of, you know, Joliet. And I found it very pleasant. I found the crowds very good, and I found people very friendly. But I really haven't thought about it very much, no.
You plan to stay?
I think it's separate from politics.
Foremost?
I mean, all those different groups that I've been with.
So foremost in your mind would be another campaign for mayor, and then if that didn't gel, you might look around? Or?
Well, I didn't say that foremost in my mind. What I'm saying is, you know, I went to bed, for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I was 18 to 20 points ahead in the polls with both men, over both of them. probably the Saturday before the election, we saw it drop to about 15. We figured a point and a half a day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And our calculations indicated 9 points, maybe 8 or 9, which is pretty good in a three-way race. So I went to bed the next night 3 points behind. So when people try to pin me down, or you know, it doesn't work with me. I mean, I've been in and out too many times.
If you run again in 87, it wouldn't be the same kind of campaign. Certainly, it won't be the same for anyone. It won't be the
You're
same
right.
for Washington or
it
anyone else.
It won't be the
else.
Same ever again. He will not be able, as an example, as he did during the debates, to stand up. Again, I repeat it, the highest unemployment nationally, and state that I, Jane Byrne, had not done enough to bring jobs to the city. I mean, he pledged he would bring 55,000 jobs. Well, we've lost jobs. We've lost industry since he became mayor. So I don't know what his stand would be. The campaign will, no campaign, I don't think, will ever be the same in Chicago, ever.
What, do you have a rating for Harold Washington, if you were to give him a rating?
Excellent politician and very poor mayor.
In what ways?
Well, I think he's done a very good job of keeping his base together. He fights with the machine to keep the independents whom he had, and he certainly is, I think, been, how would you say it? Placed himself in a posture so that his own ethnic group would think that they're not letting him govern, which is very smart on his part.
But not true?
Well, I think that you go back to how did it begin. And in any other city where you had first elected a black mayor, whether it was Mayor Good in Philadelphia or Mayor Bradley in Los Angeles, they reach out immediately. They reached out for the entire city. They immediately wanted to, you know, bring together all races of people. Harold Washington did not do that. He immediately said, you know, the machine was a dying animal, should go off and pant in the woods, and he'd jump on the grave and stamp on the grave and kick it around a bit and scream, "Are you dead?" I mean, there were a lot of fighting statements made at once. And I think that that was all part of what I'm saying, you know, that he wanted to be the mayor of the independents. I thought that would help. And at the same time, keep his constituency. So I think he realized from the beginning that in a three-way race, he only won by 3 points. And in a two-way race, which was even worse, he only won by a point and a half. So he has to hang on to his base. So in that respect, I think he's being a very shrewd politician. But I think he's being a very shrewd politician at a cost to governing the city.
What about Edward Doleac? You must consider him a good politician as well.
I think that he is the chairman of a party that doesn't exist. I think that when you have 29 and 21, you don't have a united Democratic Party any more than you have a united city. So it's very difficult, you know, to try to be a chairman or even a good chairman when you're not going to have a consensus of the whole majority of the city, which makes it very hard. I think that it was, from what I hear, it was very similar election night as to how it was the night of my primary. Everybody kept waiting for certain wards to report in, and they just didn't report in.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have that kind of division that you can't even get the results of a Democratic election or a Democratic primary, you know, there's something going on there that's not being handled.
What kind of a mayoral candidate, what kind of a mayor do you think he would make?
Who?
For Doleac.
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't really heard that in fact, I've heard him deny that he wanted to run for mayor.
And you've heard everyone else around him say that he'll run.
I have heard some people around him say that he might run, but I have heard other people around him say he's not going to run. So I don't know.
Do you think that he's viable as a candidate for mayor? Would he further divide the city, or how would you assess that at this point? It's early.
Well, it is too early, and that's the other thing that I was saying. I think until somebody, be it me or be it major corporations or be it other politicians, until they sit down and really have the city analyzed, that nobody's going to be able to answer your question. I don't think Vedrolia could answer the question. I don't think the mayor could answer I don't think anybody can. I think right now we're like a tale of two cities. And it's unfortunate for Chicago. But I think until somebody sits down and maybe does some focus groups and really tries to figure out how people are feeling, whether or not it's political, and people are thinking politically, or are they thinking that a city won't survive unless it's one city? How much give and take are all sides willing to give to unite the city? I think until we find that out, that those are questions that can't be answered by just an individual. You'd be shooting from the top of your head to try to give you a correct answer.
What would you say?
It's going to have to be a very scientific election, re-election, for anyone.
Do you think they'll all be hiring media consultants as you did and putting that kind of energy into it, whoever runs?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. I mean, many things have surfaced, I think, feelings and emotions in the past year and a half to 2 years. And many of them were subliminal there the whole 4 years. And I think you had to really do a lot of analysis to determine what was going on in the city of Chicago, which I was very glad we did.
What would you say is your proudest memory of being mayor, your best accomplishment?
Well, I think I've named many of the pragmatic mm-hmm. accomplishments. They're the things that you should do, and they're the nuts and bolts of good government. But I imagine that I would think that the move to Cabrini was emotionally the most fulfilling, because you saw a place that was in despair get hope. And you saw young lives know that they could reach out for the future. And you saw an area of the city of Chicago. Here you are, the freest, supposedly, second major city in the freest country in the world. People were afraid to walk the streets. People sent me letters, don't come here, you'll be killed, to the mayor of a city. It seemed unbelievable to me. And to drive over there and see that nobody was out, nobody walked, nobody was on the playgrounds, and then see it all happen. And then see that, you know, even night baseball games could take place and not have another shooting for the length of time that I was mayor. That meant something to me, but I think it's probably fundamental to why a person would be involved in government. And that is that, you know, you can turn things around and you can make life better for some people.
And yet over the long term, do you feel that made as much a difference as it seemed it did at the beginning? I know even by now, people in the Henry Horner homes were saying earlier this year that since you moved into Cabrini, everyone ignored all the other CHA complexes.
We didn't. I don't know. I didn't hear them say that. I heard them saying they wanted an alderman to move in there and do the same thing. But what we did there was we used it as a test pilot. And what we established there, we then started establishing in every housing project in the city of Chicago, whether it was Robert Taylor, whether it was Henry Horner, whether it was Icky's Homes. We did it in all of them. And we had what we called a mobile task force of police. Again, I didn't go to Cabrini thinking that I was going to make it a utopia. Obviously, the people are poor. Obviously, the housing is not the greatest. But we went there to change the killing and to stop the crime and to control the gangs. Nothing else. Any side effects that came of that was good. But if you ask me, was it worth it and did I get enough out of it? Yeah, I did. Because if I saved one kid who right now would be, 17, 18, one, who's not on drugs, who's not selling drugs, who hasn't been made to become a pimp for the gangs, who isn't through for the rest of his life, it was worth it.
What about your biggest regret? What would you have done differently if you could do it again?
There's so many things that you can sit back and analyze. I think probably, to sum it up, it's better communication. I don't think oftentimes we left a void, and probably we should have filled the void.
In what way do you mean?
Well, you know, we very seldom, particularly after the third year, we didn't respond to attacks. We more or less ignored the attacks. It was, you had too much to do. And I think people, if nobody is responding and if a void is there, people will tend to believe what other people may be saying. And as I say, it was a political environment the whole 4 years. So if somebody was out gunning you PR-wise for the sake of running for mayor at a later date, you might have known it inside and you might have said to yourself, how much longer? Why doesn't, But I think better communications and talking to the people and explaining to them why certain things had to be done and what you were doing and why they had to be done was very important.
Is that a part of being a more open administration? That's what you set out to do, and you made some changes, and yet after you left, Harold Washington made a lot more changes with the Freedom of Information Act and some other things that made his...
Well, what you're talking about is PR. The Freedom of Information Act, as far as I'm concerned, is just a piece of paper. You know, as a reporter, and every other reporter in town knows, that under the Open Meetings Act, under Disclosure Acts, everything was, you had access to anything you wanted anyway.
Except consultants' reports?
Nobody ever requested one that was turned down that I know of.
Marty Oberman requested several, and
no,
had to go
he made a scene about that. But what he was talking about was a transition report, and the transition reports were non-paid, not consultant reports. Every other consultant report was placed on file in the Municipal Reference Library as soon as we would receive it. So I never knew. That was, again, that's what I'm saying to you. That was a great upstaging in PR. It made us look negative. And, in fact, there was really nothing in the transition reports that I had to hide. I mean, I wasn't the mayor. I didn't care what was in those reports. They didn't affect me. Nothing. They only spoke of the Blandick administration and previous administrations. But they were very, very personal. And they attacked a lot of people. And they attacked a lot of people on the basis of, you know, Joe Blow sits in the next desk in City Hall, and this is what he said about Steve Brown, Al Smith, whomever. And there was a credibility to that, that, you know, there was no status in our minds for that report. It was a report. Parts of it were wonderful and could bring about change. But parts of it were based on just what anybody would tell transition people going into a government that were saying, well, how does this work and who does that, and would end up in the report. And our feeling was that it just was not a report. Consultant reports, they were all available. I can tell you who I used, Booz Allen. We used
Booz
Allen.
The school study we didn't get to see for months and months while you were trying to change the school budget based on Booz Allen recommendations.
No, first of all, no, see that, you're not correct in that either. In the Booz Allen report, we received an immediate survey. It was a six-week overview with funding for in-depth study. But what they did originally was go in with a crash program, because we knew we were facing a certain date that the money wouldn't be there. And what they gave us was a menu of cuts. That's all that report mm-hmm. was. We then funded them to do a six-month study, which would be your real report. The first report was like a superficial memoranda that would be followed up on the basis of what they saw at the top of the surface to try to keep the schools functioning. But that they were then paid to go in and do the actual study, which I'm sure is on file.
Well, now it is. There was also the neighborhood study report, where you had a staff of people calling out, asking questions that some considered fairly political, but the study was done at city expense. There was the Hay report, on which you based a request for salary raises. Neither of those were publicized right away. I think we seem to remember things a little differently, and that's okay, and I don't want to argue
about. No, that's all right, too, but because the Hay report also had a preliminary report, which they call an executive summary. And basically that's what we're talking about in both instances, an executive summary versus the consultant's report.
Mm-hmm.
And the executive summary was sent to the mayor much in advance of the report. Once the reports, which take months because it's a real document, once they would give that to us, it would go to the Municipal Reference Library. But they would try to assist you in giving you what they called an executive summary, which was not the consultant's report.
Okay, we've run out of time. Clearly what you have to do is assess history and your future at the same time. We've gone over, I think, some of the things that would come out again if you run again as mayor, and maybe this has been a little practice for us both, should that happen.
Always nice being with you, Marge.
Thank you very much for joining us. You've been listening to Q101 Meets Jane Byrne, former mayor of Chicago. Thanks for being with us. I'm Marge Halperin.